Our relationship with Srila Prabhupada, which means everyone's relationship with Prabhupada and everyone who comes in the future to ISKCON, is different than Prabhupada's disciples' relationship with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And one of the significant ways it's different is that Prabhupada came and didn't give us his spiritual master's books, but wrote books for us in our language, according to what we needed, and extended the mercy that we needed and the leniency that we needed, and gave us the understandings we needed to have to advance in Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching at a different time to a different group of people. And Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj was 90% strict and I'm 90% lenient. So at one point, he said, don't jump over me to my spiritual master. You can't understand him unless you understand him through me. Now, you could say that that's true to some degree in understanding Srila Prabhupada, but there's a huge difference in that Srila Prabhupada wrote his books for everyone. So it's not like you have to hear from me to be able to read Prabhupada's books or hear from anyone. Of course, anyone you hear from can enlighten you, can help you, but it's not that you don't have access. Or Prabhupada was saying, no, don't read my books, read the books of my disciples, and they'll explain to you what I'm saying. So, of course, there is a balance, because sometimes you can't understand what Prabhupada's saying unless someone explains it to you, or you understand it better. So that goes without saying. But because Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of ISKCON, everyone has access to him, and everyone should be reading his books, should be listening to his lectures, conversations, and so forth, and, of course, following his directions. So that's a huge difference. And the huge difference comes because Prabhupada is the founder acharya of ISKCON. And therefore, everyone is connected to Prabhupada. And everyone has a unique relationship. We all have an individual relationship with Prabhupada, every one of us. And it doesn't matter how many generations in the future people come to ISKCON, they'll all have this relationship with Prabhupada, because this is their foundational relationship. The foundational relationship for everyone is with the founder acharya. Prabhupada had to start his own movement, and he designated himself the founder acharya. And there were different reasons for this. He actually wanted initially to work as part of Gaudiya Math, but it didn't work. So what Prabhupada did basically was create another mission exactly like the Gaudiya Math, with himself in charge, and he wanted his books to be the law books, and that his movement would be managed by him and his principles and his teachings. And he was doing that to follow strictly the way Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted the Gaudiya Math run, but it wasn't run that way. Interestingly, Prabhupada encouraged his godbrothers to work with him. He said, I will give you buses and I will give you men. I'll even give you money to run your temples. But when you and you can go preach everywhere. But my books will be the books that we will use. My books will be the books that we will distribute. So really, he really encouraged his godbrothers to work with him, but still establishing his primary position as the founder acharya. Everyone of us has a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Everyone who comes to ISKCON has a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. He's everyone's Siksha Guru. Foundational relationship. Everyone has this relationship. In the Nectar of Devotion, it is said that one should take shelter of the acharya under the guidance of the guru. So that means in ISKCON, all gurus, be they Diksha or Siksha, are helping their disciples, their followers, establish their relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And that is their service, that is their duty. It's not that they're creating independent movements, it's not that they're independent founder acharyas. Their power comes from their guru, and within working within the organization of ISKCON, Their service is to connect people to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, to edify and explain, clarify what Prabhupada has taught, to help those people understand Prabhupada's mission, what it is that Prabhupada came to do, how he wanted to do it, so that we can continue to distribute that knowledge and a deeper understanding or an understanding of Prabhupada's mission to future generations. So that is what we're all about in the Hare Krishna movement. It's the Hare Krishna movement is not a, it's not meant to be a cult around individual people, but it's meant to be individual people helping everyone focus on the mission of Prabhupada and what he wanted and spreading that mission. So I think it's important to understand Prabhupada's mission since we're spreading it and we want to spread it, its understanding. We want to have the understanding and spread it to others. Prabhupada's initial desire, of course, he got the instruction to preach in English and to Western people. But we should understand something important. He wasn't the only one who got that instruction. Actually, that instruction was for everyone because Bhaktisiddhanta wanted to preach Krishna consciousness in the West because he thought that the Western people, because of their intellect, they would actually take Krishna consciousness very deeply. And so he looked forward to the spreading of Krishna consciousness in the West. But didn't happen in his time. And Prabhupada was given the instruction personally to do it. So he took it to heart. And perhaps if it happened, then things would have been different and he would have just helped in what was already established. But it never got established, or very little got established. So when Prabhupada came to America, as I said, his vision was whatever the Gaudiya Math was meant to be, it didn't become, and therefore what he was really doing was establishing another Gaudiya Math, so to say, but he called it ISKCON, but establishing all the principles that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted in the Gaudiya Math. And it was that it would be run by a GBC. It wouldn't be run by one acharya or one person. Even if there was one powerful acharya, it's still the GBC would be running and would be managing. So that's how Prabhupada set up ISKCON. So initially when Prabhupada set up ISKCON, the GBC came later, but after he incorporated and the movement expanded and the burden was too much for him to manage, then he established the GBC. And his instruction was the GBC should manage the movement. They will be the ultimate managing authority. And that was where the power was meant to lie, at least a certain kind of power, managerial power. So when Prabhupada was leaving, he appointed some devotees. Of course, this is controversial. Some people say he didn't appoint gurus. He just appointed people to act on his behalf as gurus. And some people say, no, he actually did appoint gurus. But while Prabhupada was alive, they were only acting on his behalf and initiating disciples for him because Prabhupada was very ill and it was too much for him to do. And that after Prabhupada left, he meant them to initiate, and then he meant that we would expand the number of gurus as needed. But anyway, any way you take it, the situation today is that there are gurus. So it's kind of a moot point at this point, although maybe for some people, it's not moot, but it's moot at least for this discussion. So, Prabhupada appointed some devotees to be gurus. And in his mind, it wasn't that these gurus would be people who would have tremendous power and wealth and so forth. That the power was meant to be within the structure of ISKCON, and the gurus were serving within that structure and helping and initiating people into the disciplic succession and guiding them. But not only would the Diksha Gurus be guiding them, the temple presidents would be guiding them, God brothers and God sisters would be guiding them, God uncles as Siksha Gurus. There would be so much guidance. So it wasn't necessarily that the Diksha Gurus would take these super prominent positions. They would have their function, definitely they have a function and a service, and they would take care of their disciples, but their disciples also being taken care of within the organization by so many people. So the real power was within the managerial structure of ISKCON. And so that's how Prabhupada set it up. So in that sense, then you understand that ISKCON is Prabhupada's, it's like the carbon copy of the Gaudiya Math. It's the mission that Prabhupada created to spread Krishna consciousness, because Gaudiya Math didn't do it. It failed. I mean, it did it a little bit in India. It's still doing something. But it's not successful as a united movement. So it wasn't able to do what ISKCON has done. And even some of our God brothers have gone out of ISKCON and they've established their own centers. But it's virtually impossible that they can accomplish what ISKCON has accomplished, and they know that. ISKCON is the movement that is really going to have the greatest effect in spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. Because of how Prabhupada set it up and how he masterminded it. With the GBC running and him as the center, the founder Acharya. And now, so how does this work as a founder Acharya? Well, as we're saying, we're all connected with him. The gurus are connecting the disciples. Well, I'm connected. He's my spiritual master. Any people I teach, I try to connect them to help them understand Prabhupada and what Prabhupada taught. That's my service. Also, anyone that I'm teaching that teaches, or any devotees that I'm not teaching that teach, that's also their service, be they first generation, second generation, or 100 generations from now. So it doesn't mean that those who are Prabhupada's disciples necessarily have a closer relationship with Prabhupada than anybody else who comes, for example, second generation, or 100 generations, or 10,000 years. I was just thinking the other day, when we talk about generations, how many years are we talking about? Is generation 10 years? Is a generation 50 years? I'm not actually sure. I read a quote. It said, how we act today, we should consider the ramifications of our actions 6 generations ahead. And I was thinking, what's a generation? Is that 60 years? Is 60 years ahead? Doesn't seem like much. 600 years, that seems like a lot. So, does anybody know what a generation is? So you can enlighten me, because I'm in ignorance. But anyway, we're talking about 10,000 years, how many generations that might be. And so, does it mean that someone comes to ISKCON 5,000 years from now, can't have an intimate and close relationship with Prabhupada, can't understand Prabhupada the way Prabhupada's disciples understand him? No, we can't say that. Can we say that Prabhupada's not accessible to them? Can we say that Prabhupada can't guide them? No. Can we say that they cannot understand Prabhupada the way we can? If we say that, then how will ISKCON succeed? But by divine arrangement, we can say that Prabhupada can guide them just as he's guiding his own disciples, or has he guided his own disciples. Of course, you could say, well, it was special for people to be with Srila Prabhupada and they have a special understanding that maybe others won't have. That's true. But they're also sharing that understanding, and it doesn't mean, and we see this practically, that those who are with Prabhupada are necessarily doing better in Krishna consciousness than those who came after Srila Prabhupada. And we have disciples of Srila Prabhupada who never met him, whose only association was being in his movement, serving him, and hearing him through recorded lectures, conversations and morning walks, and reading his books. So, and now, Prabhupada left, 1977, so we as his disciples, some of his, I came in January of 1970, I first met, read Prabhupada's books in October of 1969. So Prabhupada left 1977. That gave me, 7-8 years? And of those 7-8 years, how much of my time was in Prabhupada's personal association? A very small percentage. So most of my association with Prabhupada was through service and through hearing his lectures and reading his books, hearing his lectures in separation. So, Prabhupada himself said he didn't have a lot of association with his spiritual master, but he always felt his spiritual master present with him. Prabhupada told us, if you read Nectar of Devotion, you're personally associating with Rupa Goswami. So it's a transcendental system in which association is not a physical thing. And Prabhupada always said, even about his personal presence, a physical association is not as important as association through instruction. So he really stressed association through instruction. And if we stress that, then it means the primary way we will associate with Prabhupada is through hearing. And Prabhupada also said, we are associated through service. And so everyone serving in ISKCON, no matter if you're serving through a particular authority in ISKCON or serving through your guru, still you're serving Prabhupada. And so you're also connected to Prabhupada through your service, because you're also, I think it's obvious also, you're serving his mission, because anyone you're serving in ISKCON is also serving his mission. By serving them, you're excuse me, you're serving his mission. So the connection is intimate. Now, on the transcendental platform, because we're not always transcendental, it may be difficult to perceive that association. Just like you see the deity, and you think, well, how is Krishna there? I can't talk to him. He doesn't seem to be moving or dancing. But as we advance, that someday we can talk to him. And someday we can, he'll communicate to us. Same thing with the holy name. It might just appear to be a sound, but as we advance, we see Krishna is actually present there. I'm associating through that sound. Same thing with the Bhagavatam. Krishna is present in the Bhagavatam. So it's of a transcendental nature, and we understand by our own experience the difficulties we have in feeling and perceiving Krishna in these other aspects, because we think, well, if I could just see Krishna in front of me, then I'd actually be able to perceive him, which is not true, because we can't perceive Krishna as he is unless our senses are purified. And if our senses are purified, then we'll perfectly perceive him through these other mediums. So in the same way, we will perceive Prabhupada's presence more and more, we will feel him more and more through service. And I think those who distribute his books, especially because book distribution is so dear to Prabhupada, feel his presence very strongly. And those who are engaged in any responsible task in ISKCON, the more responsibility you take up in the service of spreading Krishna consciousness, the more you feel Prabhupada's presence, because it's a responsibility that you're taking to expand Krishna consciousness to others, which means to expand ISKCON, and Prabhupada's mission was to establish and expand ISKCON. Now, let's talk a little bit about his mission so that we can see how we're connected to his mission. Prabhupada's personal mission, just that comes from his heart, is to make every person in this world Krishna conscious. You could say to make everyone in the universe Krishna conscious. But to be practical, to say to give Krishna consciousness to everyone on this planet, that's his mission. Of course, that's the mission of every acharya, and therefore that's the mission of his spiritual master. But as we said, particularly, the mission that Prabhupada was given by his Guru Maharaj was to spread Krishna consciousness in India. In America, or in the West. Could have been England, in English-speaking countries. Of course, India is the second largest English-speaking country in the world, or Hinglish. Is that how they say it? Hinglish-speaking country. Well, it's supposed to be English, but not exactly English. I was just reading an article in India. If you want to say your mother's ill, you say, mother is serious. That means she's sick. Mother is serious. And a headache is, head is paining. Head is paining. Head is paining. So they do speak English, but I don't know if you could call it English, really, but it's some kind of English. So anyway, when Prabhupada, English was not such a big language in Prabhupada's day. So his mission, given to him by Bhakti Siddhanta, as we said, is, yes, Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness in the West. So we are helping Prabhupada do that. Now, you say, but Prabhupada went to India. So is preaching in India, or preaching in Yugoslavia, is preaching in Bulgaria, is preaching in China, is that all Prabhupada's mission? Yes, 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 yes. In fact, I think it was early in the movement, maybe 1972, Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. That was his world headquarters, and Prabhupada loved Los Angeles. He was establishing Los Angeles as the exemplary temple, and managers and devotees would go to Los Angeles to learn everything, deity worship, book distribution, learn everything, because that was where Prabhupada wanted to set the standard. So Prabhupada was there, and he's very happy there. He had nice quarters. He was doing a lot of translation. The weather most of the year was very nice. It doesn't get really cold in Southern California. So 6, 7, 8, 9 months a year, it's quite nice, pleasant. A few months, it's a little cold. Not like cold, cold, but a little cold. So the deities told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada explained this, and how they told him, we may or may not know, but Prabhupada explained this, that he wanted to stay in Los Angeles, New Dwarka, and the deities told him to leave and go and start a temple in India. And I think the deities were telling him, go to Bombay. And Prabhupada related that he was telling the deities, but I don't want to go, everything's expanding here, and we have a nice temple here. And I want to stay here and oversee this. And the deity said, no, you go to Bombay and I'll build you a nicer temple than this one. Prabhupada had that conversation. So now, Krishna is asking Prabhupada to go back to India and spread Krishna consciousness. Is India important in spreading Krishna consciousness? Yes, yes, yes. Some devotees feel the real mission is India. That's where Krishna consciousness is really going to spread like wildfire and have the greatest influence on the world. Was it Bhakti Siddhanta's strategy to send Prabhupada to the West to gather Western devotees who would then go around the world to spread Krishna consciousness? It seems like it. Therefore, was that part of Prabhupada's mission to spread Krishna consciousness in India? It definitely seems like it. Some people say this is the place, this is the real mission. So anyway, we can say wherever we are, it's Prabhupada's mission. His mission is to spread ISKCON. We are members of ISKCON, and we represent ISKCON when we represent Prabhupada. When we represent Prabhupada, we represent ISKCON. So therefore, if you're doing anything to spread Krishna consciousness, whatever it is, helping another person spread Krishna consciousness, doing some service in a local temple, in any way, you're helping spread ISKCON, and then that means you are directly expanding Prabhupada's mission. And so you have this like intimate service that you're doing for Prabhupada, because just think how intimate it is to maintain and expand the mission that Srila Prabhupada establish. That's personal service. And you can feel that. If you're just open to it, you'll feel it. You'll feel that connection. Another example, when you read Prabhupada's books, I know many of us, maybe all of us, feel that often Prabhupada's speaking directly to us, and we feel this connection. When Prabhupada wrote that book, he wasn't writing the book just for his disciples. He was writing that book and all his books for all generations of future disciples. That means all of you, not just, and he was writing them when his disciples were present, but he was writing them for all of us. Here comes the truck. Did you hear it? They're building flats next door to us. I said, buildings going on everywhere. This is a city here. Save your money and buy something here in Mayapur before it gets too expensive. And buy me one at the same time. I'll live on the top floor. You can live on the bottom. Actually, I have a very nice place here I'm renting. So nice, I'm getting attached to it. Maybe I'll never move out. When the owners come back, I'll say, you can't live here. It's too nice. I want to live here. So this is all, anything we're doing to help other people become Krishna conscious is part of the mission. Anything we're doing to help a temple in any way, you give a donation to a temple, you do some service at a temple, that's helping Prabhupada's mission. Anyone you bring to Krishna consciousness, that's helping Prabhupada's mission. And you becoming Krishna conscious. That's also what Prabhupada wanted. And as I said, those books he was writing them for every one of us. And it is service to Prabhupada to read those books. He wants you to read those books. He's happy when you read those books. He's happy when you distribute them. He's happy when you teach those books to other people, tell people about those books. So I think it's really, I want to stress this point, I think it's really important to understand that this is a transcendental system, and therefore every person who comes to ISKCON has equal connection, equal opportunity to connect to Srila Prabhupada in a very deep and meaningful way. And we shouldn't just think, oh, it's so nice to be Prabhupada's disciple, to be there. But you are Prabhupada's Siksha disciple, so don't ever think you're not his disciple. You are. And you are serving him personally by engaging in Krishna consciousness. And you have the potential, you may already be, as intimately connected as any of his disciples. And you have the potential to connect with him as intimately and as anyone. And also you have the service to connect other people intimately to Prabhupada. And this is what it means to unify around the founder Acharya, that we're all unified around the founder Acharya. That's it's essential that ISKCON be unified, because that's how we'll be successful. So we have so many great personalities, they have so many followers. Jai Pataka Maharaj has tens of thousands of disciples. Radha Swami has thousands and thousands of disciples. He actually has, what he told me, he said after he wrote his book, Going Home, so many people want to take initiation from him. He's got thousands of people who have been waiting and waiting and waiting. It's a huge, huge burden to have so many disciples. He cannot initiate all of them. So these are transcendental personalities that are attracting so many thousands of people to Krishna consciousness. But still, what is the focal point? The focal point is Srila Prabhupada. There, we are all serving in his mission and his temples. And everyone that we bring, the focal point is Srila Prabhupada. In fact, there was a GBC resolution that said no one should even decide on who their Diksha Guru should be for at least 6 months. It just should be focused on Prabhupada, to understand and connect deeply with Prabhupada, to understand him, understand his mission, understand the movement. And then at that point, when you connect with someone who inspires you, who you may want to take Diksha from, it's you see him as your connection to, you know, you see him like Prabhupada, as how he helps you get closer to Prabhupada. Some people say, oh, Prabhupada didn't want Diksha Gurus, they get in the way. But actually, they're just meant to help you become closer to Prabhupada and help you realize that your real relationship, your foundational relationship, your eternal Siksha Guru is Srila Prabhupada. So, last week, for those of you who missed, we talked a little bit about Prabhupada's effect on his disciples, how he empowered them, and how he was kind of a you-can-do-it-all personality. You know, he told us to do something, we just did it, because that's who Prabhupada was. He was a person who just did it, and so by osmosis, by empowerment, we also felt the same way. So in the same way, the more we connect with Prabhupada's heart and his mission, the more we become empowered by him to do what he wanted us to do. And that empowerment is almost like a kind of intoxication, because when you do something that's okay, let's wait for the truck to go by. That is either a truck full of bricks or a truck full of sand or cement or rocks. It's based because that's all they build buildings out of here. That's all you need to build a building in Mayapur. Sand, rocks, cement, and metal bars. You're good to go. So, what does empowerment mean? It means the ability to do something you couldn't really do on your own, or to do it better. And so when you connect with the Prabhupada and his mission and you become inspired to serve him, He can empower you to do things you didn't think you were capable of doing. He could empower you to speak in ways you didn't think you could speak. To give lectures like Joy. You're in Berkeley, so you could go and do programs and give lectures to classes. And say, no, how could I do that? No, you can do it. You can do it. I know you can do it. No problem. You let Prabhupada empower you, and you can do it. Yes. Sudevi, you could make so many devotees. Sudevi's in Bellingham, which is in one of the northernmost cities in America, in the Northwest. She has a preaching center. She could make so many devotees. She could be so empowered to attract people and make people devotees. Prabhupada, how? Well, how does Prabhupada do that? We pray to him. Prabhupada, please put the words in my mouth. Empower me. Prabhupada, please send devotees to my center. Please send submissive people. I will. As long as we're willing to take care of them, as long as we're willing to represent Srila Prabhupada, then he will empower us to do that. And he'll make facility to do that. He'll be present. He's very present. The acharyas are very much present. I have to admit something. I don't know, this sounds proud, but I think it's inspiring, and I think it makes the point here. Last week I had a dream that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like taking me on parikrama in Mayapur and talking to me. And I have this, like, I don't know what it is, but particularly because I teach a lot about japa, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is such a Harinam guru. I'm so attracted and inspired by him, and there's a deity of him in Prabhupada's samadhi. And so I see it every day, and there was a dream, and so it's like, it's transcendental, you know, who am I? You know, just a fallen soul struggling to be Krishna conscious, and by his mercy he appears in a dream. So Prabhupada, he can empower us and appear to us in so many ways. Joy, how about tomorrow? Why don't you try it tomorrow? Here, I'll inspire you, Joy. I did it when I was 19 in Vancouver. What's the name of that university? There were two universities in Vancouver. Whatever. You know, one of them is Simon Fraser, and the other one is just like University of Vancouver, I guess, or Vancouver something. So I was 19, 20 years old. Prabhupada said, guru means one who knows more than someone else. Joy, you know infinitely more than the smartest professors at the Theological Union in Berkeley who think they know everything, because you have Prabhupada's books. If you allow Krishna to empower you and just go and do it, you can do it. This is what Prabhupada gave us. I think the unique thing that Prabhupada gave us, and I think it's important for all of us to really understand this, the unique thing that Prabhupada gave us was this idea that we, armed with the knowledge that he gave us, all we needed was enthusiasm. We didn't need any other qualification. And if we think, well, I'll wait till I become qualified, well, in a sense, we could say, well, who's really qualified? I'm not a pure devotee. How qualified am I to preach? How qualified was I to preach in the university? At the age of 20, you know, 8 months ago, I wasn't following the principles or chanting 16 rounds. The qualification was not me. It was that I was a messenger of Prabhupada's words. And I was just enthusiastic to do it because people needed it. And I think that really, really, our mood was, there are people out there that need it. So it doesn't matter how good a messenger I am or how not. It's just, I have to do it somehow or other. And, you know, doing something poorly is better than not doing it at all. So we didn't really care how well we did it or how well we didn't do it. We just went out and did it because Prabhupada wanted it. And that was why we were successful. So that's part of what it means to be empowered. It's not like one day you wake up and you're, jai, I'm empowered. But the enthusiasm that you have gives you the empowerment. So then you think, okay, well, let's do it. So for me, for example, and I think this was indicative of how everybody felt, it wasn't a mental thing, oh, I'm going to university class to give a lecture. It was, what an opportunity. I've been invited to this class. I can't wait to go and tell them and speak to them about Krishna. And every one of those classes, there's always one or two people super, super interested. And what would I do? I would just be myself and speak about Krishna. And how would I prepare myself? Sometimes I prepare myself by speaking to the wall. I say, okay, I'll give the lecture to the wall before I actually give it to the students. So I'm going to prepare my lecture in my head, and I'm going to sit down in my room and speak to my wall. Just like right now, I'm speaking to a tape recorder. I don't see you all. I'm speaking to a tape recorder. You could speak to a tape recorder and listen to yourself. I would just practice because I thought Prabhupada wanted us to do it. I was enthusiastic and said, okay, I can talk. I can make some points. Let me just articulate these points, maybe 5-10 points. What is bhakti? What is yoga? What is mantra? What does it mean to me, not the body? So I'd talk about it. I'd say it over and over to the wall till I felt comfortable. Okay, wall, I think I got it. Let's go on to the next point. Okay, what is bhakti? Bhakti means devotion, but actually means devotional service, because you can't just speak about devotion. It must manifest, and then love is in everyone's heart. And real love is a divine love. It's not love of this world, which is more personal. You know, just talk about it. Reframe my thoughts, get it clear. Okay, next point. Okay, I'm not the body. What does that mean? I'm not what I think I am. I'm not my name. I'm not my age. Like that. So just practice and then go out. So that's how we did things. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to fail or this or that. No, this Prabhupada wants this. So that was the empowerment we got. And then we'd go out and do it, and we'd come back and we'd say, wow, I just did something that I can't believe I did. And I did it better than I thought I could do. And that was a kind of intoxication, because what does intoxication mean? Well, having had experience in those dark years, the dark night of my soul before I was a devotee, intoxication is when something overcomes you and you think and act differently than you normally act. So it's like almost like somebody's acting through you. So empowerment is like that. It's like somebody's acting through you. And so Prabhupada said book distribution is real intoxication. And I think one of the things he meant was that you get this empowerment. So you're saying things and you're doing things and telling people things that normally you wouldn't be able to do, because you're getting empowerment. So if we have that attitude, and then we think, well, let me do something for Prabhupada. Let me, expand my service for Prabhupada. And just pray to him, Prabhupada, please give me the power to do this. He'll do it, there's no doubt. If you want to please him, he'll give you the intelligence, he'll give you the ability. And you'll become ecstatic because you're getting empowered. You'll become transcendentally intoxicated because you're becoming empowered. So just like this month, so many places in the world, they do book distribution marathons. People go out, and especially in December, because it's Christmas and people are generous, we have book distribution marathons, because it's really a good time to distribute books. So we go out and we think, I don't know how to distribute a book. I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. You just give somebody a book. Tell them, this is a nice book. It's such a nice book. I don't even know what to say about it. Words can't describe it, but you should read it. And I'm going to give it to you. And because you're a nice person, could you be nice to me and give me a donation? Maybe that's all you can say. But it's not even what you say. It's your enthusiasm. Sometimes if you're enthusiastic, you don't have to say anything. A lot of times you'll see in your helping others become Krishna conscious, who you are is way more important than what you're saying. Your behavior, your consciousness, that's what's really important. So oftentimes in our services in Krishna consciousness, our consciousness is way more important than the actual techniques of how we do things. So if you're in the right consciousness, then don't be afraid to take on some service that may be difficult. You just have to be in the right consciousness. That's what you want to work on. So, this month is a good month if you have opportunity. If there's facility, connect with your local temple. You can distribute some books. You can go on the street. You don't have to worry if you'll distribute one book or not. You just go out in the right consciousness. This is what Prabhupada wants me to do. Important thing is to make the effort. And then I'm going to do it. I'll just offer people books. So many people are going to say, no, I don't want them. You'll go and cry in the corner. That's okay. But just have fun approaching them, even if they don't take. That's that's part of the bliss. It's just, you know, I think a lot of the problem is we don't understand that the process itself in doing the service is really what it's all about. And it's not about the result. So you could go out and not distribute one book and be in total bliss. It's like joy. You can walk right down the street right now and show somebody a book. You could go knock on the doors and people, all the people that live around the temple, and show them a book and just say, I just wanted to show you this book, Bhagavad Gita. This book, Bhagavad Gita, was actually spoken 5,000 years ago this month. And we're doing a celebration because it's such an invaluable book. It's changed my life. I'm happy all the time. You could just do that. Have you ever read it? You know, it's fantastic. And all they can say is, nah, I'm not interested. And you could be in bliss, even if you didn't distribute one book, just because you're making the effort to serve Prabhupada in that way, to show people a book. Prabhupada said it doesn't even matter if they read it. If they just see it, if they just touch it, there's benefit. So people will get benefit. They'll see you, they'll see the book, they'll hear the name, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna. You have to be in that consciousness, you know, to be able to relish the service. See, joy knows. Book distribution is fun because she's in that consciousness. It's not like, oh, I come back, I only did one book all day. No, it's fun to show that. But you take that idea. So now, joy, you could take that idea. It's fun. Now I take joy. Go give a class at the university. Oh, that's not fun. No, you take it in the same way. It's service. It's the action of doing the service is where the bliss is, not the result. You just do it. You make the effort. You just get it out there. Right now I'm doing a few projects, and there are a lot of challenges to do them. We're developing courses online. We're developing some new seminars, some exciting stuff. But it's a little challenging because it has to be much more professional than what I've done previously, and in some new chartered areas. But the results could be phenomenal. So it's the same thing. We have to enter it and go, okay, this is going to be ecstatic. We're going to learn how to do it, and we're going to fall on our face a few times. But that's okay, because the results of this service could be wonderful, and even if they're not, we're making the effort. And as I often say, nobody fails unless they give up. And as I often say, you have to learn by failing. Sometimes you can't learn if you don't fail. So in that mood, we become attached to the service. And so we think, well, how can I serve Prabhupada's mission better? What can I do? And then we think of ways to serve. And then in doing that, you feel this deeper connection to Prabhupada. Yes, he's empowering me. This is what he wants. What does Prabhupada want from us? He wants us to be Krishna conscious. He wants us to give Krishna conscious to others. He wants us to be a good example. He wants us to follow his teachings, be examples of that. He wants us to use our brains to see how we can help spread Krishna consciousness, how we can do our service in better ways, expand it, be creative, not just do what we're told. You know, Prabhupada said, first-class servant, he does before he's told. Second-class servant does what he's told, and third-class servant, you tell him, and then he messes it up. So part of the way that Krishna consciousness is spread is we do what we're told. And part of it is we understand, well, what does my authority want? What does my guru want? What does Prabhupada want? What does the mission need? And then we expand in our areas of service using our own creativity. And we become more and more energized. Now, if you become inspired, you get a lot of energy, and you can do a lot more service than you're doing now, if you have energy. Otherwise, without energy, everything is like, oh, so hard, so difficult, so many problems. But if you're inspired in Krishna consciousness, you think you have time for problems, you don't. It's like, even if you have them, it's like, I don't have time for it. I have too much important service to do. And I can't allow these things to get in the way because I have too much important service to do. So that is how Prabhupada trained us. And okay, we have problems, we all have problems, but so what? It's not, we're not allowing this to get in the way. The mission's too important. So if we're creative in how to spread Krishna consciousness, if we're in this first-class servant mode, well, I have service, let me do more, then our personal problems are just, you know, just things we just have to deal with to get out of the way so we can do our service. And you will find a lot of empowerment in the willingness to overcome your personal considerations. That's another thing that Prabhupada taught. Hitting a lot of stuff in this class here. This should be like four classes, spread out between four classes. Maybe we'll elaborate on it. But another thing that Prabhupada taught, which was an empowering principle, he said, a preacher, a teacher of Krishna consciousness, is not concerned about their personal comforts. You know, well, if I do this project, will I be comfortable? If I do this service, will I be comfortable? It's not how they think. They think of the service, and they don't think, well, how will I live? How will things, how will I get along? Will I like it? Will I don't like it? They think of the service. They think of the mission. That's primary in their mind. Then they do the service. And so, you know, really in that sense, we could say that the servant doesn't have personal problems. Because servants, his problem is serving his master. If he have any, you know, like I think I was saying in the last article I wrote, that, you know, our anxieties should not be personal, but they should be, you know, if we have anxiety, they should be Krishna's anxieties. How do I spread Krishna consciousness? That's what we should worry about, or how I can advance. Or, you know, our worries should be the kind of worries that Prabhupada had. You know, they're not worries about ourselves. So that's the mood. That's the mood of the servant. He's lined up with the master. So he's not going to let his personal problems get in the way of what his master wants. So Prabhupada, he gave us that ability to be mission-oriented. There's a mission here, and that's what's important, the mission, push on the mission. Now, it doesn't mean our whole life goes topsy-turvy and 23 hours a day we work for the mission, we sleep for an hour, and we don't eat unless we have time. No, our life has to be balanced. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to deal with, we have to take care of ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, and so forth. But we're taking care of ourselves so we can further the mission, because the mission is what's important. That's what it means. I mean, at least that's how Prabhupada, that's how we'll connect more with Prabhupada, and that's how he'll empower us. So, now, that has given us almost an hour of talk, because we wasted a half hour with this internet stuff. And I don't know from week to week if you're going to be able to see me, but at least we know now you can hear me. So does anyone have any questions or comments before we go? And M. Roma, Suhas, Sheetal, and Chaitanya, if you click on chat, the password Radhe, if you have a question or comment, you could come on the chat and ask it, or say something if you want to say, Haribo, Nitai Goranga, whatever. That's how you get on. Below it says chat, right? Join chat or something. What does it say? Something like that? Yes. Well, the only way I'll stay, Pallavi, is if someone has to ask a question about what I've said, clarification or express a realization or something like that. And then I can stay a little longer. Otherwise, it's going to be time to move on to our next program. So, well, now, we can all think a little bit about how we can increase our service, or if not increase, do it better, and how to become inspired. Oh yeah, see, now Roma's on chat, so we're only missing M, Suhas, Sheetal, and Chaitanya. Anyway, does anybody have any questions or doubts? Is anyone in a state of shock about what I said, need an explanation? Um, yes, Rama, we're expecting big things out of you now. Right? No, you're already doing big things. We're expecting bigger. Again, focus on your service to others. It's very important. Let us focus on our service to others. Prabhupada said this is a mission of compassion. Let us pray every day to Prabhupada to empower us. In our service, to give us intelligence how to expand it, do it better, and to be a better devotee, to be more pleasing to him, to our guru, to the other Vaishnavas. This way the connection to Prabhupada becomes very, very strong. We feel his presence always, we feel his empowerment. We'll see him more coming through other devotees. This class was recorded, Pallavi, because usually when we listen, we only hear about 7%. Or that's what remains. So we have a new section that I put up on Krishna.com called Prabhupada. I'll see if we can get this class up soon, maybe in the next few days. The last Prabhupada class was not up. And let's see if we can get this up in the next few days so you have access to it. Thank you all for coming. And same time, same station next week. If there are any changes, we'll let you know. But we'll talk more about what we talked about today. And you can report in all your ecstasies. Oh, we have a question from Israel. How can I understand what exactly I should do, what kind of service, and how it should be done? Okay, Joy, we'll see you. That question was asked to Prabhupada. He said, ask the temple president. Simple answer, huh? Yeah, I think, Sania, you asked that question before, yeah. Sometimes we just have to simplify it. Or you look at your talents and you see where you could serve, or you see things that need to be done that someone's not doing. How do I know what service I should do? I see a piece of paper on the floor in the temple. Someone didn't pick it up. I know, that's my service. Pick up that paper. Sometimes it's as simple as that. We just see something needs to be organized and no one's doing it. I'll do it. That becomes my service. I'm going to organize this. I'm going to clean this. If you go to any temple, I'm sure you will find dust on the frames of the paintings. That can be your service today. Go into the temple and clean the dust off the paintings. What service you should do, yeah. It can be as simple as that. So, that's a thought to meditate on, at least for now. And then look at your own talents and see how you think you can put them to best use. Yes, I am thinking of organizing some classes that will be broadcast on Mayapur TV that will be done every afternoon in Mayapur from like 4 to 5:30 or something like that. I don't know what time that is in America. That's early in the morning. I think, 6:30 in the morning maybe. I'm thinking about it and I will let you know. Okay, we will see you all next week. Hare Krishna. Jai Ho, Hare Bol.